last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars. Global expertise with local vision. Offices in Dublin, Galway, Limerick and now open in Cork.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us. You've been having a look at how the number of job vacancies is falling. Just explain why that might be significant to me, Ian, please.
Evening, Matt. Yeah, this is a report out from the recruitment company Morgan McKinley, which are a big recruitment provider in the state. And we have to remember the context for this, Matt, is we are pretty much at full employment. The unemployment rate across the country is at just over 4%. But what they're finding in Morgan McKinley is that the number of job vacancies are down, and they're down substantially between July and the end of September, down by 13%. And what they point out to is two factors, that you have lots of domestic companies in retail and in, I suppose, the travel industry and the hospitality industry hiring, but in the internationally traded sector of the economy. So think of all the big tech companies and the multinationals and big financial services companies. The number of job vacancies posted by these firms has fallen. And that would be a little bit of concern, because we do know, firstly, the multinational sector pay a heck of a lot of corporation tax. And also the taxes paid by these employees is quite a lot, because their wages would tend to be higher. And I suppose, what does that say about their future investment plans? Could it be a temporary short-term phenomenon? There's a lot of people suggesting that big American companies are holding off doing anything, either expanding or investing, just simply because of not knowing the outcome to the US election. Or is it just the fact, Matt, we're at full employment? Where are we going to find people? The biggest issue when you talk to recruitment is finding talented people with skills and the education to fill the positions is one thing. Housing them is another. And we do know, because of the shortage of people, we're pretty much bringing in people from abroad to fill all of these positions.
And then, of course, where are they going to live? And that once brings me to apartments, because as we know, it's very hard to find an apartment to buy now because of the cost of building new ones. But there are people perhaps who have bought second-hand apartments or got into apartments a long time ago. Very interested in this report by the Society of the Chartered Surveyors, suggesting 9 out of 10 apartment block managers don't have enough cash to cover costs, that cost for essential maintenance, leaving the owners facing serious financial risks. Not exactly a way to encourage people into buying apartments, is it?
No, and let's be honest, Matt, and I know this from experience, we're talking about substantial bills for not just fixing common areas of apartments or putting up a lick of paint or putting in light bulbs. We're talking rectifying issues that were put in during the Celtic Tiger, or matters that weren't fixed during the Celtic Tiger, when we slapped up an awful lot of apartment buildings across the country, and in particular in Dublin, that weren't really fit for purpose, and you have to have substantial renovation work done. You're meant to have a sinking fund, which either landlord or individual apartment owners put together each year into the management company, and they pay for these things. And what you're finding is, because of what's happened in the past, a lot of people don't have the money. The money isn't there. And they are left with substantial bills for things like fireproofing, rectification of defaults, all sorts of structural issues. Not something that costs a couple of hundred euro, but costs thousands of euro per apartment, or even tens of thousands of euro per apartment. And the management companies just don't have the money. And you think of, well, if they're big defects, why not go back to the original builders? Well, what happened to the vast majority of builders during the Celtic Tiger who put up the apartment blocks? All the companies are in liquidation. So there is a severe issue here for many people. As I said, I know a little bit about this, Matt, and you are talking, again, a lot of people say, well, put in a couple of hundred euro per year per apartment or per landlord. It doesn't work like that. You've got owners of apartments out there who are stuck in them. They can't sell them because, of course, you can't get the repair work done because they can't afford it across the entire building. You can't just do some of this work to just your own apartment.
And then the modern apartments I've in the last decade or so are built to a higher standard, but that then makes them more expensive for people to purchase, perhaps too expensive.
Yeah, and of course, we've spoken about this. The only people that are actually buying apartments now are institutional landlords. I actually saw a very rare apartment block up for sale in South Dublin recently. But if you look at all the big developments, Matt, they are all now corporate investment funds that are purchasing these apartments. So they're buying the new ones, Matt, and they're not going to have any trouble because, of course, they're charging top of the market rent. It is all those other apartment blocks that have mixed tenancies, people who own them for a number of years or people who are just renting. They're the ones who are suffering right now.
Okay, why has Starbucks gone out of favour?
A lot of people would put it down to the boycott that took place across Starbucks in the Middle East and in the United States last year from the war that Israel took in Gaza and the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. But the problems at Starbucks are just so much wider. They came out with their financial results a little bit early yesterday. They weren't due for another week, but they put them out early because sales across the company are absolutely struggling. In the United States, their sales in their last quarterly period down 7%. In China, they are down 14%. We know the Chinese economy is struggling, but what's happened with Starbucks over the last number of years? They got rid of their chief executive just a number of months ago, and the new guy took over. They found that in the US, the big problem is you've got people ordering on apps, combining with people ordering in the stores. There's a huge amount of delays getting drinks and mix up. And also people are waiting in queues for so long because people are ordering cold brew drinks with all fancy concoctions in them. And the lines are taking forever. And therefore people are going elsewhere. So sales are down. In China, you've got the macroeconomic issues of the Chinese economy struggling, but also local competition really hurting Starbucks. So when you add those two factors in, sales across the company down by a total of around 7% to $9.1 billion, but its profits down by 25% in the past quarter. A new chief executive started in the last couple of days. He's from the restaurant and hotel industry. His background is an executive called Brian Nickel. He's pointing out that there's going to be a big turnaround coming, but the trouble is, how do you fix this problem? Because a lot of people are saying, well, we'll just go to other coffee shops. Starbucks is just not as nice an environment as it used to be. That you've got people, as I said, you've got the orders being mixed up, not enough baristas making the drinks at the time when people are coming in to either stand in a queue or order them on the app. And that's just turning customers away.
Okay. And very, very briefly, and we did a piece before 6 o'clock on union busting. What do you make of the allegations? Because a lot of our listeners are saying the unions make the problems for themselves in workplaces.
Yes, but we also had that recent example of that data center out in Mead where workers were going on strike and they were saying that the management wouldn't simply engage with the union. Look, I wouldn't normally be the most sympathetic person to some people in the union. Sometimes they escalate minor gripes. But I think in this case, Matt, you do have a lot of the new modern employers. They don't want to engage with unions. There are European laws coming down the line that say you have to engage with at least representatives within the company, but you do have particularly American multinationals. I heard an example recently of how one company was looking to get rid of workers and just couldn't understand how they couldn't fire them straight away and that they had to wait 30 days. I think here, Matt, I would have a little bit of sympathy with the unions because they are finding that they are coming up against some employers that really want to cut corners when it comes to HR.
Ian Guider, thank you.
The last word on Today FM.